Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, Packer fans. Happy Wednesday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you, as always, for being here. It is great to be chatting Green Bay Packers with you. We near closer to the NFL draft. No, you're excited. I'm excited. It's always a bittersweet time of year because draft is here and it's right around the corner and we all want to unwrap the presents and actually get to it. I know a lot of people are ready to fast forward to that point. For me, I am trying to delay it as much as I can so I can watch more and more of these prospects, but it is a labor of love and it is something that I enjoy doing every single year. So I'm still in my happy space. I'm just trying to push off the actual draft as long as I possibly can. But once it's here, I will be very thrilled for that as well. Two prospects we're going to go over today, Donovan Azaraku and then Mykel Williams. I talked a little bit about these two players with Justice yesterday. Probably maybe not the greatest timing on my end that we talked about edges yesterday, and then I'm doing the deep dives on both of these players today. But alas, it is what it is. And regardless of the conversation yesterday, I am massively excited to be talking about both of these players who, I'll give you the spoiler right now, I will be thrilled if either of them are Green Bay Packers at pick 23, or if they move up, or however they need to become Green Bay Packers. I don't care at this point. I like both of these players quite a bit, and this would be about one of the best outcomes that I could think of coming out of this draft would be if Green Bay either gets Mykel Williams or Donovan Azaraku coming out of this draft. So we'll go over why in just a moment. Before we get there, a couple things just want to go over. Jill Orvis, brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member. Jill, thanks so much for that. If you haven't checked out those memberships yet, make sure to do so. We're going to have a live Q&A coming up later this week for members only. That is going to be on Thursday this week. So plenty of time to sign up. Make sure to do so ahead of time. If not, just like, subscribe, comment, give those 5-star reviews. Those things always are helpful as well. We do have 3 live in-person events coming up that I'm really excited about as well. Thursday night, April 17th, Timber Rattler Stadium, pregame Q&A with myself and Aaron Nagler. Looking forward to that. Again, April 17th, Timber Rattlers game. April 23rd, Wednesday night, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., Hagemeister Park in Green Bay, the night before the draft. I'll do a live pre-draft Q&A. Again, April 23rd from 7 to 9. And then Saturday night, April 26th, I'll do a live post-draft Q&A, Titletown Brewery Tap Room, again, 6 to 8 p.m., the night of Saturday, the final day of the draft. There's a lot of concerts and stuff that are going on downtown Green Bay that'll be great to get out there as well. If you're going to be in Green Bay, make sure to come over, check it out, and I'd love to meet you. We'll do a meet and greet as well, and I will answer as many questions as I can. And if I need to stay late, you know what? I'll probably just stay late as well. Only one real piece of news or information from Tuesday, and that is from Bill Michaels. And he said, quote, this is on Twitter, Packers president Mark Murphy states that the Steelers most likely will protect the Green Bay game. Therefore, they will play in Pittsburgh and not Ireland, especially if a former quarterback is playing in the Steel City. So it sounds like the Steelers want to keep Green Bay as a home game for them, actually in Pittsburgh, and not have that game be played overseas in Ireland. You can imagine that that is going to be a very popular game. Packers Steelers in Pittsburgh. It is going to be a game of the year if Aaron Rodgers is quarterback of Pittsburgh. And you can understand why Pittsburgh would not want that to be overseas. You could understand why Green Bay would not want that to be overseas. You can most importantly understand why the NFL would not want that one to be played at, what, 8:30 in the morning Central Time when it's Aaron Rodgers versus the Green Bay Packers. That is, again, one of the potential elite games of the entire season. It's almost been to me the question of, are they delaying the decision on who plays in Ireland based on Aaron Rodgers? Meaning, if it's not Rodgers, if it's whatever rookie quarterback or whatever free agent they still go out and sign, then is it Packers Steelers in Ireland? And if it's Aaron Rodgers that goes to Pittsburgh, then they won't send Green Bay to Ireland. It does. I've wondered that up until this point, because it felt like Packers Steelers in Ireland was almost like a foregone conclusion for a while. I was just waiting the announcement. There were multiple rumors out there. I've already, in fact, booked a hotel just in case that it does come to fruition. But now, after the Aaron Rodgers rumors, it feels like everything's been on pause and there has yet to be an announcement. I wonder if we'll get that sooner rather than later. And as of right now, per Mark Murphy, per Bill Michaels, I guess, it sounds like that will not be the case and Green Bay will not play in Ireland. So whether that's a good thing or a bad thing for you, that is your own prerogative. I don't have really a horse in the race one way or the other. Would have been cool to go over there, but I can understand maybe the, some of the, you know, competitive advantages, disadvantages, things like that. I'm kind of cool with it, but that would have been a fun game to go to nonetheless. All right, let's get to our main topic for today. And that is these two massively talented defensive ends. You can understand why we're talking about both of these players, right? Both of these players are mocked usually right around pick 23. Mykel Williams specifically will go earlier in some mocks. He will go later in some mocks. There were some mocks that just came out this week that Mykel Williams was available at pick 23. These things are very difficult to predict. So whether he'll be there or not, we'll talk about that as well. But I think it's at least feasible that Green Bay, you know, or that he could be on the clock at 23 when Green Bay selecting, or that Green Bay may have some interest in moving up. I'm not saying up into the top, you know, 12 or anything like that, but if he's one of their top guys and they can get to 20 to get him, that's within the realm of possibility. Azuraku is more likely to be there at pick 23, at least in my opinion. You know, maybe just because of the size and things like that, but is another player that has some ties to Green Bay. We'll talk about that. And is a phenomenal pass rusher, usually picked right around in that pick 23 range. And we know that Green Bay has a need for pass rushers. They would probably love to add to their defensive end room, add some competition, some depth, and maybe some top end talent. And we just saw last year how Philly went about stacking their defensive end room and how important that position was for them. And we've known for a long time, right? You can just never have enough pass rushers. This is predicted to be one of the top positions that Green Bay attacks in this draft. And it is well within the realm of possibility that Azuraku or Mykel Williams could be the choice at pick 23, which is why we're going over them today. So I'm going to go through these probably a little bit quicker since we do have two of them to go through, but I'm still going to do a full deep dive on both players. We will start with Mykel Williams. He is a 6'5", 260-pound defensive end out of Georgia. I'm not sure if you're aware of this. Green Bay has liked their players, especially in the first round from Georgia, whether it has been Eric Stokes, Devontae Wyatt, Quay Walker. They've not minded taking players from that school, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I know maybe that would give some, you know, people pause and say, hey, it hasn't exactly worked out the way that you've wanted it to. Maybe don't do that anymore. Don't scout the jersey or like the color of the G on that specific helmet. You scout the player, and you know, to just eliminate Georgia defenders moving forward is probably very foolhardy. So I would not do that if I were you. But he is a massively talented individual, which is why Green Bay would be wise to consider him in the first round of the draft. He is a true junior, very long arms, 90th percentile height, 54th percentile weight, 75th percentile 40-yard dash with a 4.77 40, 90th percentile 10-yard split. He did not do any other testing at the combine or at a pro day or anything like that up until this point. So we don't have a full athletic profile for him, but he projects as a pretty freaky dude just on the tape. And you're not super concerned about him not testing in some of these drills because the athleticism more than shows up on tape. His top two athletic comps on the RAS site, by the way, the two that are most like Mykel Williams, Willie McGinnis and Aiden Hutchinson. That is not bad company to be in athletically as your top two comps. And obviously, both phenomenal players. I see a little bit more Willie McGinnis than I do Aiden Hutchinson, but both of them would be, you know, home runs if you came up with any sort of player that resembled either of those two. Both just unbelievable NFL players, right? 22nd on Daniel Jeremiah's big board at the moment, which again would put him in that conversation of maybe being available at pick 23. He was second team all SEC this past year, and it is very much worth noting, and we will talk about, he played through an ankle injury in 2024, suffered it in that very first game, and then it just really derailed him for the rest of the season. But he played through it, was still effective, but the 2023 tape and evaluation became so much more important because of that ankle injury in 2024. All right, here was his stats from Georgia. Again, these are just the raw box score stats. In 2024, played in 12 games, had 21 tackles, 9 tackles for loss, 5 sacks, 2 batted passes, and 2 forced fumbles. In 2023, 13 games played, 18 tackles, 7 tackles for loss, 4.5 sacks, 2 passes batted down, 1 fumble recovery, and 1 forced fumble. And then in 2022, 15 games, 28 tackles, 7 tackles for loss, 4.5 sacks, no other noteworthy statistics. In his career, he played 40 games, 67 tackles, 23 tackles for loss, 14 sacks, 4 passes batted down, 1 fumble recovery, and 3 forced fumbles. Now, that is just, again, the raw box score. Let's take a look at PFF and what they thought of his performance. Not perfect, but it's a, you know, solid indicator of just kind of where the player was performing, at least in some way. You might like the grades, you might not like the grades, to each their own, but I think they're noteworthy nonetheless. In 2024, 402 snaps, 78.4 overall grade, 82.9 in run defense, 70.7 in pass rush. In 2023, played 381 snaps, 78.8 grade, 80.3 run defense, 73.3 pass rush grade. And then in 2022, 407 snaps, 71.5 grade, 75.8 run defense, and 66.3 pass rush grade. In 2024, this is all per PFF again, 249 pass rush snaps, 6 sacks, 7 hits, 17 hurries for 30 total pressures. So 30 total pressures on 249 pass rush attempts. In 2023, 236 pass rush snaps, 6 sacks, 4 hits, 17 hurries, 27 total pressures. And in 2022, 288 pass rush snaps, 8 sacks, 2 hits, 25 hurries, which equaled 35 total pressures. His win rates was 11.7% this past year, 11.4% the year before, and 9.0% in 2022. In his career, he has 773 pass rush snaps, 20 sacks, 13 hits, 59 hurries for 92 total pressures. Here is that scouting report from Daniel Jeremiah before I get into my positives and negatives for Mykel Williams. Quote, Williams is a talented edge rusher with rare physical traits. Unfortunately, he suffered an injury in the opening game against Clemson and played through pain for the remainder of the season. When healthy, he has a dynamic get off and can win early from the edge or when he's reduced inside. He has extremely long arms and blockers struggle to get into his chest. He has a nasty shake bull move and he also flashes a violent swipe move to generate pressure. Against the run, he still found a way to get set a physical edge, even when he couldn't put that much weight on one leg because of his injury. His effort never wavered. Overall, the 2024 tape isn't a fair representation of Williams' talent. He has game-changing tools when healthy and locked in. All right, let's get to my positives and negatives. This is what I saw on tape. Positives, number one, he's a fantastic run defender. If you are looking for somebody that's going to be able to set an edge and funnel everything inside, my goodness, is Mykel Williams for you. There is one particular play that I posted on Twitter where he gets double teamed. He basically squats and benches both players, doesn't budge an inch, and is basically just taking on two guys and stacking them and not going anywhere. We are not talking about a 340-pound, you know, Sam Adams, not the beer, the defensive tackle back in the day for the Ravens. We're not talking about that, right? We are talking about a edge rusher. We are talking about 6'5", 260, and he has the ability to set the edge and stack defender or stack offensive linemen at a unbelievable level. I'm not saying it's consistent like that every single time. Of course, he's a junior out of college. He's not a finished product, but my goodness, the stuff that he puts on tape as a run defender is so intriguing. And I get passing is the name of the game. And you want great pass rushers and you want, you know, all these guys that are just demons off the edge. But man, run defense is important too. And we are seeing that in a very major way. And I'm not even disparaging Mykel Williams as a pass rusher as much as I am just telling you he is a really great run defender. And he has the ability, in my opinion, to be an elite run defender as an edge at the NFL level over time as he continues to hone his craft. He plays with tenacity. He plays with physicality. The athleticism pops off tape, especially off that 2023 tape. I'll just, again, give you one more just kind of, you know, review of this. When I initially reviewed his 2024 tape, prior to knowing the ankle injury, I talked to Justice about this the other day. I was underwhelmed. I didn't see the high-end athleticism quite as much, and the production was a little bit left to be desired. And I'm just like, I don't exactly get it. I'm not understanding it. Then I heard about the ankle injury, went back and watched the 2023 tape, and just everything fits together. I mean, the 2023 tape is really fun, and he's just exploding off the ball, and all of those raw athletic traits. And I don't even say raw, just the athletic traits just come out, and you can see him on full display. And it gave you so much better of an evaluation of who he is as a player. Held up as a freshman in the SEC at a very young age. I mean, that is tough to do. When you come in as a freshman at Georgia, just getting playing time is tough because of all the incredible players that they have there already. Making an impact and being good already is an entirely different story. And Mykel Williams was good as a freshman in the SEC playing for Georgia. That is something to be noted. Nobody, I felt like, could consistently block him in 2023. There were moments, of course. It's not like he's just winning on every play. But man, every single offensive tackle, everyone that went against him struggled in some real way. It was just a really tough day at the office when you were going against Mykel Williams when he was healthy. And it's a bummer that we didn't get to see him healthy in 2024, although it may push him to pick 23, and it may be a blessing in disguise if you're a Packer fan and want Mykel Williams, because I believe if he was healthy in 2024, this is somebody that you're pretty clearly talking about as a top 10 pick, assuming he played like he did in 2023 or better. But now, because the 2024 tape was a little bit different and he had that ankle injury, it might just push him down enough to 23. And that would be obviously a huge win for Green Bay. Violent hands. I mean, he knows how to use those long arms and those hands to get inside. And then he's got some power behind it. So that is something that you really like to see from a pass rusher, an edge defender, is some violence in those hands. He's got the quickness with him. He's got the strength with him. And then you bring the violence, you bring the pain. And that's exactly what you want to see from your pass rushers. Rashawn Gary, very good with those violent hands as well. Mykel Williams in that realm. Long arms really play to his advantage. Again, he can use a long arm, but it just really allows him to kind of have that advantage in arm length over some of these offensive tackles, especially ones maybe with some of the shorter arms. He can just get into them before the offensive tackle can. I mean, you just have the reach, right? And you can get inside on the pads and kind of control and just, sort of set terms a little bit more. So those really play to his advantage. He can play outside. He can play inside. He can play standing up over center. So he can do some of the, Za'Darius Smith stuff where he was lined up right over center when he was in Green Bay. Legitimately can play a three technique on obvious passing downs and did so last year and actually looked really good at it this past year. And then just can also be a force player along the edge. So I wouldn't hate him or hate the idea, I should say, if he was an edge on early downs. And he was kind of that run-stopping defensive end. And then on obvious passing downs, you moved him inside. And you could, put together pretty quick. Let's just say that they get a run-stopping defensive tackle in the draft, like a TJ Slayton. And you could put together a Mykel Williams and maybe a, LVN on the edges to stop the run. Or Rashawn Gary, of course. And then, maybe Kenny Clark in your run-stopping defensive tackle on the inside. And then on passing downs, you've got Gary and maybe it's, Van Ness. And then you've got, Mykel Williams and Devontae Wyatt on the interior. Like there's just a lot of different things that you could do. If you want Clark and Wyatt on the interior, Mykel Williams and Gary on the outside, you can do that too. Just a lot of fun mixing and matching possibilities. And he does have that versatility, which we know Green Bay really, really values.
Can you smell it? Springtime is in the air and baseball is officially underway, and you know exactly what that means. It means it's time to add your favorite players from the diamond into your Prize Picks lineup. Whether it's strikeouts, RBIs, first inning runs, take your pick on more or less for your shot to win up to 1,000 times your cash today. And right now you can sign up for Prize Picks and get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's absolutely guaranteed. So do you think Shohei Ohtani will get more than one home run this week? How about Juan Soto more than one hit in his next game? Cook up your hot takes with your friends and win real money when you run your game on Prize Picks. This week, I'm going with Jackson Chourio to stay hot in Milwaukee, and I'm also going to be picking pretty much every hitter against Milwaukee, seeing as their entire pitching staff is on the DL. The best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly on your first $5 lineup. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks, run your game.
Works really well in his twists and stunts. That explosion pays off, and all of a sudden he's on the outside. Defensive tackle takes his guy out, and all of a sudden he's getting through that gap in a hurry and getting to the quarterback with suddenness. He's willing to do the dirty work, especially again in the run game. Gets his long arms up in passing lanes and knocks down passes. Offensive linemen can't just seem to get comfortable against him. Every single time that they feel like maybe they're getting a beat on him, you know, he just finds a new way to win. And that's a nice trait to have. And it just, I talked to Justice about the other day, I love watching offensive linemen. And when I'm watching the offensive lineman that's trying to guard the defensive lineman that I'm watching, or, you know, protect against the player that I'm watching, because you can tell if they're comfortable, if they're having a crappy day at the office. And again, especially in 2023, those offensive tackles were having a very, very bad day at the office. The motor is always running with Mykel Williams. He has the toughness, again, played through injury this past year. Great first step, and can get down the line and chase some of those runs from behind as well. So I always talk about closing the back door. If you're the unblocked defender on the weak side, you are kind of chasing that play down from behind. You want to make sure that there's no cutback lane. So he's right down that line with great speed and tenacity. And if that running back tries to cut back, good luck, because Mykel Williams is going to be waiting for you, and you are going to get a tackle for a loss on that play. Or he'll just chase it down from behind, a la what Clay Matthews was able to do in his time in Green Bay. As always, there's some negatives as well. Injury or no injury, and again, I do believe it's very much due to the injury. 2024 to me just was not as impressive as his 2023 tape. Say it one more time. I do think the injury was a key piece of that. Height, length, all will allow him to, I should say the height allows sometimes offensive linemen to get into his body a little bit more. You know, anytime you're playing a little bit more upright, I don't think he always plays with great pad level. That's going to, again, allow some of those offensive linemen to get into his chest and kind of control him a little bit more. I think he could do a better job of shedding blocks. Once he does get engaged, it's a little bit harder for him to get off of those blocks, which is, you know, par for the course for most defensive linemen. But at some point, you're going to get blocked initially, right? So you have to figure out ways to get off of those blocks. I think he can do a better job of that moving forward, but that's something he needs to work on. Still needs to develop a wider move set. He's got a long arm. He can convert speed to power a little bit. You know, he has a little, you know, jab step here and there, but overall, there are still moves that are not in his arsenal, and figuring out that exact perfect plan to the quarterback is still, I think, a little bit of, I don't want to say a ways away, but still things that he can work on to develop as a pass rusher. He has not shown huge growth from freshman year to junior year. I thought freshman year to sophomore year, he took that jump. Then it's tough to tell it, you know, junior year because of the injury, but he was really good as a freshman, good as a, you know, really good as a sophomore, really good as a junior. Like, we just haven't seen that consistent growth or that spike. I'm not saying he's plateaued, but we just haven't seen that kind of progression that, you know, where he was as a freshman, you're thinking, my goodness, what is he going to look like as a junior? We did get robbed of that because of the ankle injury, but we did not see that jump in productivity and just play over the last three seasons. It does play a little bit too high from time to time, and the production wasn't always there. So there is a little bit of a projection here as well. It's not quite to the level of Shamar Stewart, where Stewart just never got that production, but it still, I think, leaves some to be desired. If you're looking for that premium high-end pass rusher, he's not that yet. I think he can become that. I really do. But he is more run defender than pass rusher at this point. I would grade him as, you know, out of college, probably about an A edge, you know, run defender on the edge. And probably more of like a B minus as a pass rusher. That's not, again, a negative in any real way. I think he has a lot of upside as a pass rusher. He's just more refined as a run defender at this point of his career. You know, how he could fit in Green Bay, immediate pass rush help, great edge defender. Again, versatility, can use him all over the place. He would be a immediate rotational player for this defense, both on the outside, and I think use some on the interior as well. Is there value at 23? Unquestionably. I think he would be a tremendous value. I think Green Bay would be massively excited if he was there at pick 23. Will he be there? I'm going to say probably not. I think a player of his caliber is more likely to go before pick 23 than be there. But with some of the injury issue this past year, and maybe the lack of productivity a little bit, could he fall to 23? Sure. And again, that's why we're talking about him today. I don't want to be like, well, we just waste the last, you know, 20 minutes or so talking about a player Green Bay is not going to have a chance at. I don't think it's impossible, which is why we're going over him. I would be willing to bet a little bit more that he's gone before 23, but it's not, again, out of the realm of possibility at all. Should Green Bay take him if he's there? I'm going to say, of course, it depends on who's there, but my guess is probably he would be best player available at that point in time. Why would Green Bay pass if he was still there? I don't think they would. I think he would be the guy. again, depending on who else is there, but knowing who is likely to be there at 23, if Mikel Williams is on the board, I would be pretty much willing to bet that Mikel Williams is very high on their board and has a really great chance of getting taken at 23 if, again, he is there and available. Final thoughts. I think this would be a really great pick for Green Bay, one I would be thrilled with and probably would be one of my favorite picks in the first round, probably since Jaire Alexander. Felt, again, 24 tape, I left it being like, just don't see it. Not as much, at least. Just I wanted a little bit more. 2023 tape to me, fell in love with, saw the player that he is without the injury. Love the fact that he played through the injury and showed that toughness, but I think his best days are ahead of him, and I think he can be a really great defender in this league. And then we get to Donovan Ezeraku. I talked to Justice yesterday. My guy. I mean, this is probably going to be through and through my guy in this draft. 6'2 and a half, 248 pound defensive end out of Boston College. He's a senior. Won the Ted Hendricks Award for the nation's top defensive end, first team All American, ACC Defensive Player of the Year, first team All ACC, ranked second in FBS with 16 and a half sacks, third with 20 and a half tackles for loss, and was a team captain. Not too bad. Not too shabby, my friend. Stacked the awards ceremony with all of those things throughout the course of this past year. He was fantastic on the field. From a height, weight, speed sort of standpoint, athletic profile, 32nd percentile height, 25th percentile weight, 60th percentile bench press, 88th percentile vertical jump, 80th percentile broad jump, 96th percentile, 96th percentile short shuttle, 96th percentile three cone. He did not do the 40-yard dash. Very athletic, but shorter and a little bit lacking in bulk, right? Not the heaviest guy in the world, but bench press, vertical, broad jump, short shuttle, three cone, tested through the roof. Phenomenal athlete. Stats in 2024, played in 12 games, 80 tackles, 21 tackles for loss, 16 and a half sacks, one pass batted down, three forced fumbles. If you're looking for somebody who can, just stuff the stat sheet, looking for that productivity, the sacks, the pressures, everything, Donovan Ezeraku is your guy. 2023, played in 13 games, 53 tackles, only seven tackles for loss and only two sacks in 2023, one pass batted down, two forced fumbles. In 2022, 12 games, 61 tackles, 15 tackles for loss, eight and a half sacks, two passes batted down, three forced fumbles. And then in 2021, 10 games, 21 tackles, four tackles for loss, and three sacks. In his career, 47 games, 215 tackles, 47 tackles for loss, one per game, 30 sacks, not quite one per game, but not super far off either. 30 sacks in 47 games is impressive. Four passes batted down and eight forced fumbles. Per PFF, this past year, he played 766 snaps, a 90.0 grade, 83.6 in run defense, which is notable, especially knowing his size, 90.5 pass rush grade. In 2023, 569 snaps, 78.1 overall grade, 81.1 run defense grade, 73.1 pass rush grade. In 2022, 529 snaps, 83.2 overall grade, 84.2 run defense, 74.3 pass rush. And in 2021, on 230 snaps, 61.9 run defense, overall grade, 61.6 run defense, 61.8 pass rush. In 2024, had 428 pass rush snaps, had 14 sacks per PFF, 20 hits, 29 hurries, 63 total pressures. In 2023, 295 pass rush snaps, three sacks, seven hits, 28 hurries for 38 total pressures. In 2022, 287 pass rush snaps, nine sacks, five hits, 23 hurries, and 37 total pressures. And then in 2021, 112 pass rush snaps, two sacks, no hits, nine hurries for 11 total pressures. In his career at Boston College, 1,122 pass rush snaps, 28 sacks, 32 hits, 89 hurries, and 149 total pressures. This is the scouting report from Daniel Jeremiah. Ezeraku is a compact edge rusher. Compact is important. We'll get to that. With outstanding length, burst, and production. Actually, I'm going to talk about it right now. Compact edge rusher with outstanding length, burst, and production, okay? If you are going to be one of these edge defenders that maybe doesn't hit the height-weight profile, what you usually want to be is a little bit more of that compact player. meaning that yes, you're smaller, but you've got great muscle mass, you've got, you know, outstanding length, and you have great, you know, again, bursts off the ball. Like, this is exactly what you're looking for. If this isn't your normal, like Mykel Williams, 6'5", 260 guy, you better be able to compensate it for, you know, in a variety of different ways. And Ezeraku really does. And that compact, you know, just sort of, it just packs a little bit of a punch. It's, you know, it allows him to kind of set the edge even for his size and just kind of get after quarterbacks. And that length and that burst play a huge role into that as well. In the pass game, he has a very quick first step and gets on top of blockers in a hurry. He excels at prying open the outside shoulder and cornering towards the quarterback. He has a full array of moves to complement his speed rush. He has one with a club swim, inside counter, spin move, and Euro step. He's an outstanding finisher, 16 and a half sacks in 2024. Against the run, he needs to be more consistent using his length to stack blocks. He takes them on with his shoulder too often. He shows solid effort on the backside to chase down plays. Overall, Ezeraku is an ideal body type to rush the passer, and he has all the tricks in his bag to win against good players. Totally agree. Well said, Daniel Jeremiah. Here are my positives and negatives from his tape. Positives: pass rush moves, tactics, and tricks of the trade. He has all those moves at his disposal. He has all of these little tricks and tactics to get to the quarterback, and he will set you up. He will set you up knowing what you're going to do, figure out how to take advantage of it. He will come up, like, you see these defensive ends that are attacking you at a million miles per hour. He attacks under control, almost like, he's almost like a wide receiver. It's almost like a Davante Adams at defensive end, meaning he's not rushing anything. He knows that he has the artistry to make you make a mistake. And once you do, he's going to take advantage of it. So it's like a receiver like Davante off the line of scrimmage where he's going to see how you respond. And then based on you, how you respond, he might take an inside release. He might take an outside release. He might run right at your face. Like, he's going to adjust based on, you know, he's going to just give you a little something based on how you react. He's going to react, and then he's going to go make a play off of that. That's how I see Ezeraku. He is going to come up, kind of make a little something, and then how you react to that little something, he's going to then counter it. And he's going to find your weakness and what you did with what he showed you, and then he's going to exploit that weakness with whatever move he wants to use. Yeah, I think so many edge defenders, even in the NFL, go into a play thinking, I'm going to do this. I'm going to try a spin move on this play. I'm going to try a bull rush on this play. This is what I'm going to do on this play. Ezeraku, meanwhile, is going in with an open mind. You can just tell it. And he's going to go up and he's going to start that rush. And then how you react to it, he's then going to pick out how he wants to attack that. And that is a very, very fun player, a fun piece. And he is going to find ways to exploit you and beat you. He is incredibly agile, which showed up in the testing as well, has fantastic balance and ability to bend the edge. Talk to Justice. There's a play where he is like just almost at like a, I don't know, 45 degree angle, like just to the ground, but stays balanced, still is going to the quarterback, explodes to the quarterback and gets, I don't remember if it was a pressure or a sack, but like just remarkable bendability around the edge. He is very slippery. You just can't get your hands on him. He's like, he's like Nightcrawler, the X-Men, where like you just, he's all of a sudden there and then poof, he's somewhere else. Like, it's so hard to anticipate what he's going to do on any play that when you think you have a beat, you do not. And he's going to be somewhere else. Just it's literally Nightcrawler-esque. And it is really, really fun to watch. You never know what to expect as an offensive tackle. He is stupidly unpredictable. If you think you're going to, you know, get a counter inside, he's probably going outside. If you think he's going outside, he's probably coming back inside. And it's not even necessarily that you were wrong. You might have got the evaluation right. You might think, he's going outside, and he might have been, but then he's going to counter you back inside and use your, you know, maybe overstep against you, and it's just game over. He has a way to attack everything, and that's like a veteran trick of the trade, but he's doing it in college, and he's doing it with really great bursts, long arms, like, I don't care about the height or the weight. And by the way, the weight, he holds up at the point of attack in the run game far better than you'd expect, which also showed in those run defense grades by PFF as well. He has the productivity in the sacks. For those of you who are all aboard the, I'm done with traits, I want production, hello, Donovan Ezeraku. And he has traits too. but he was the ACC Defensive Player of the Year for a reason, first team All-American for a reason. He had the production in college, especially this past year. His junior year was a little bit less. His sophomore year was more than acceptable, but his senior year was everything that you wanted it to be on high-end production. Wonderful lateral agility, natural knack for getting to the quarterbacks, as long limbs, which again helps him to kind of get off those blocks and just kind of engage quicker, get inside on the offensive lineman, and again, kind of dictate terms. Can win with suddenness, quickly blowing up plays. This is one I disagree with Justice on a little bit. Justice said he didn't think he had the speed. I think he's fast enough by far and away, and I think he can win with that suddenness as well. So I disagree with Justice on that one. And if you go back to Daniel Jeremiah too, that he talks about the burst, right? And that he also said, I thought there was something else. Guess maybe not. I thought there was one other thing that he mentioned about, he has a full array of moves to complement his speed. For me personally, I think he's more than fast enough. I think he has that burst, and it is not a issue for me when I evaluated his tape. Can play left, right, or move over center, just like Mykel Williams, either side. Plus, again, can kind of be used as that player that's lined up like Za'Darius Smith was back in the day. I don't think he's really a move inside type of guy. In fact, I would be stunned if anyone tried him that way. A play here and there is possible, but Mykel Williams can legitimately be lined up as some three technique. That is not what you're going to do with Ezeraku. Shows good quickness on twists and stunts, very quick and active hands, and held up well at the point of attack in the run game, despite those size limitations. So I was actually overall impressed with what he did as a run defender. The negatives: size limitations will likely hurt him in run defense in the NFL, and it just is going to, I think, cloud his evaluation for some teams. I think that he can actually finish better, which is something that's crazy to say. With all the sacks and production that he had, I actually thought he left a couple out on the field, and if he can finish those, look the heck out, because he's consistently getting into the backfield. He will go a little bit big game hunting at times and miss out on an assignment here or there, so he can do a better job of making sure he's doing his 111th and whatever he's supposed to do on that individual play. Size and length of offensive tackles will give him some problems. So he's going up against bigger, longer, athletic offensive tackles. That's going to give most people trouble, but it does definitely give Ezeraku some trouble as well. And I would say he actually doesn't have that. If you're talking about maybe the burst and things like that, I don't think he has elite closing burst. It's not terrible. It's not bad, but I don't think it's elite either. And usually the best of the best pass rushers have that elite closing burst to the quarterback. That's the one thing that I'm not sure he has in his arsenal. Phenomenal player, though. How he could fit in Green Bay: they need the pass rusher. He's a change of pace, and he also played under Jeff Hafley for multiple seasons while he was there. So that would be one to me that Jeff Hafley could vouch for a little bit more. Here's the thing: I don't know that this is Green Bay's particular cup of tea at defensive end. In fact, I can pretty much tell you that it's not. Goody is going to have to be convinced that Ezeraku is going to be a good enough run defender. I think he can be. He's going to be able to get some insight from Jeff Hafley as well. But, and I guess the other thing we don't know is what type of edges they're looking for under Jeff Hafley's defense. They've not acquired one yet during that time frame. Assuming he kind of stays with the same brand, Ezeraku does not fit that very well. I will say this, though: if Jeff Hafley gives that stamp of approval and says, listen, he can do everything that you need him to do, we can get him setting the edge well, like he's going to be a phenomenal player, then maybe Goot still signs off on it. But I don't think he's a 1A Packers type at defensive end. Will he be there at 23? I think so, but this one's going to be close as well. Should Green Bay take him, I would be all for it. And by the way, the other thing I meant to mention too is, like, he would be a different type of edge rusher than they have on the roster. Rashawn Gary, LVN, the big bulk up, you know, heavy defensive ends that can set the edge and bring the size and all those sort of things. Ezeraku is going to give you that lighter speed rusher that has a ton of pass rush moves to his name and isn't a bad run defender either. So I just think he gives you a different look, a different type, and I love that along the defensive line. Again, should Green Bay take him? Yes. Why would Green Bay pass? Height, weight, size. That's the biggest thing. We know that they love their big, physical, strong edge defenders that are going to be able to both set the run and get to the quarterback. I think Mykel Williams makes more sense for them, but man, oh man, would I be thrilled if they took Donovan Ezeraku. Definitely value at 23. And then my final kind of thoughts here is just, I love both of these defensive ends. They would be two of my favorite picks in a long time in Green Bay. It fits what Green Bay needs. They need the pass rush. And I could not for both of these guys. Usually when I know is when I can't stop watching the film, where I need to go to the next guy and I'm like, oh, I just want to watch more plays of this guy. And with both Mykal Williams, especially the 2023 tape, and then all of Ezeraku's, I was like, I just want to keep going and watching more and more film. That's usually a good sign. It was definitely for these two. I love them. Hope Green Bay gets one of them. I would be thrilled. Let me know what you think. Which one would you like more? Do you want the production of Ezeraku, but maybe not the size, the strength? Do you want the size, the strength, the speed of Mykal Williams, who can set the edge, but maybe hasn't had quite the production that Ezeraku has? I could go either way. I think Mykal Williams fits a modern NFL a little bit better, but man, I love Ezeraku. And like I said, he's going to definitely be a guy for me in this draft that I'm going to keep a very close eye on to see where he ends up and just what he does in the NFL. But I love his game. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate you guys a ton. Thank you for making Packaday part of your daily routine. Thank you for all the nice comments. Just a guy who loves the Packers in his basement, talking Packers 365 days a year. And I could not be more grateful for it. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, Dave McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Ataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Razul Douglas Time, Jake Corner, Carla Delgado, Willie Winkle-Stinkle, and Jen Wright. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.